Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's good to see you all. It was only 1 week that we didn't have class, but it felt like longer to me for some reason. So I've been looking forward to connecting with all of you. All right. Well, we've got our first practicum today. We've got our deep listening practicum. I'm really excited for us to come together in this way. I'll share a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but I'll just say I'm going to actually be talking less finally, and you'll all get to share a lot more. So I'm looking forward to hearing all of your voices. Before we jump into that, a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. The first is, you've got, for those of you that have opted in to the cohort, the small cohort groups, I know you've got your first call. I'm really excited for those of you that are going to be in the small cohorts. I think you'll really enjoy it. You'll enjoy the time with Inbal as well. We have gotten a couple of emails requesting different timing for the cohort calls, to consider different timing for the cohort calls next time around. And a couple things on that. So first of all, yes, we will look into that, but also just so that you all know, we try to hit many time zones all at once with the timing of the calls. So there, you know, we kind of do our best to try to not be in the middle of the night for as many time zones as possible. And that goes into some of how we create the timing. That being said, Jolly and Alta are putting together their own small cohort group on Sundays. I think mornings or early afternoons, Eastern Standard Time. And so there's opportunity to join them. And Jolly or Alta, if you want to share about that in the chat right now or in the Facebook group. And there's opportunity for, if anyone wants to come together and create their own group, their cohort, go ahead and do that. We can give you, there's different questions for each session for you to discuss based on what we've been learning the previous weeks. And so we can just give you that list of questions and a little bit of an outline of how to run your own core cohort, and you can do that as well. So you've got some choices if you're not able to make the official cohort time. All right, so thanks Jolly and Alta for sharing that. Amy, you're asking if the cohorts have already, you didn't get an email about it. I don't know why the email didn't get to you, Amy. And we can certainly get you in if you want to. I'm just making a note of that right now. Someone on the team will reach out. And just if you can do me a favor and check if you're getting any emails from us. And then when Talia reaches out, if you're not, let her know, because there might be a spam thing going on there.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for letting me know. And same with Sarah. I know we've had different emails with the partners and the cohorts. It looks like a bunch of you missed the invitation. So I'm not going to take the, you know, let me know in the chat. I'm writing down who missed it, and I'll definitely make sure today or tomorrow that we get it to you. And if you can just if you didn't get the cohort email, if you can just check if you're getting the rest of our emails, I hope they're not going into spam. Check your spam as well. And yeah, the cohorts, you we'll have opportunity in about 5 months for people that want to come in and out of the cohorts, Annalise. So if you can't do it this time, you can do it next time. Okay, I'm glad that I mentioned that to the whole group. I didn't realize some of you didn't receive the emails. Yeah, and Wendy, we didn't send a list of who's in each of the cohorts. You'll get that when you come to the call. Okay. I wanted to remind you that we have a bonus Q&A call on March 7th from 12 to 1:30 Eastern. So hopefully for those of you that want some extra Q&A time, extra coaching time, that time is there for you. Please come. You can ask any questions, business-wise, coaching-wise, client steps, client case-wise, inner work-wise, whatever it is that you need. And that is on March 7th from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. And all of those calls are in your member center. So everything, that whole schedule is in your member center. We spend the first 30 minutes of those calls blueprinting for the month. So it's a nice opportunity to get clear on goals for the month and action steps. And then we move into Q&A time. All right. So the last piece that I wanted to, housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention today is about certification. I try to introduce each of the pieces one by one, first the partners, then the cohorts, then the certification, because there are a lot of pieces and details, and I don't want it to be overwhelming. So certification isn't for everyone, and I just want to kind of say that up front. If you're not feeling called to get the Sacred Depth certification, there's nothing wrong with that. There are plenty of people who have participated fully in the training, but have chosen not to go for certification, either because it just doesn't feel important or like something that you want or need. And that's great, right? If that's for you, that's great. And then for other folks, the certification piece feels really important. It might feel important to you. Some of us need that validation, like, yes, I know I passed the tests and I did all the things. And that helps to cultivate confidence. Some people want it so that you can let people know you're a certified Sacred Depths practitioner and you get a badge and all of those pieces. Some people like to do certification just to go through the rigor and go through the pieces. So the certification is optional for you. And let me tell you what's involved and what's what will be required to get certified. And all of this is also under the certification tab in your member center. So all of this information is there for you. So the first requirement is to complete all of the training calls, all of the worksheets, and we have quizzes for each module. Doesn't mean you have to be here live. You can listen to the recordings, and it's on the honor system. There's a checklist that's in the member center for you in the under the certification tab that will help you track your progress, and then you check off that you've done each of those pieces and you submit that. So completion of all of the calls, the worksheets, the quizzes. Another requirement are the partner hours, and there you want to have documentation, and there's a download for documentation for 18 hours. And an hour includes each time you meet with your coaching partner in this program, even though you're not coaching them for that full hour. So you coaching them, them coaching you, and reflections, that counts as an hour. There way more than 18 weeks in the program. So it doesn't mean that you have to meet after every single session or every time I give coaching partner homework. You just need to meet 18 times. Oftentimes, the most ideal case is that you and your partner, your schedules always match, and it's easy breezy to meet 18 times. That's ideal. But we live in a messy world where we rarely attain the ideal. And so it also oftentimes happens, and I actually encourage this usually, you know, a third of the way through the program, halfway through the program, to connect with other people in the program for some coaching partner hours as well, especially if you need the hours because your schedule isn't totally lining up with your partner, but also because it's good practice to coach different personalities too, and to test these skills out with different folks and different personalities and people in different places. So it's perfectly normal for that to happen, that you might need to also go outside of your partner. In addition to those 18 hours with your partner, you also want to do another 18 hours of coaching hours. This can be with clients, already existing clients or new clients. This can be volunteer client hours as well. If you're a seasoned practitioner, these 18, and you have a lot of clients and you have been working with clients, these 18 hours, and when I say hour, and all of this is noted in the member center, it's really a session. So if you if your sessions are 30 minutes, that counts as an hour. If your sessions are 60-minute sessions, that counts as an hour as well. If you're seasoned, during those client hours, it should be ones where you are stretching the new skills and techniques that we're learning here, where you're applying what you're learning here in new ways to your sessions. The next requirement is, and this is a requirement, but I think it's also, I mean, all of these things I think are wonderful. You get 4 coaching sessions with a Sacred Depths coach. So we will match you up either with Caitlin or Inbal or Makita, and you'll get 4 sessions with them to experience firsthand being coached in this way. Oftentimes when we coach, we also consult if we have a particular expertise. These 4 sessions are not, consulting may happen here and there, but it's really, we're not doing like a business plan together or strategy, you know, that kind of thing. It's really sticking to the coaching and the coaching skills. So you'll get 4 of those. Randa, you're asking, are the coaching sessions with clients to be documented as well? Yes, and there's a tracking sheet for it, again, in the certification tab, and it's not very complex. It's pretty easy breezy, and that's there for you. Halfway through the program, do we need reviews? No, you don't need any client reviews for this. This is all your own assessment. Next requirement, halfway through the program, we'll ask you to submit a 30 to 35 minute recorded coaching session for us to review. And it will be an audio or video recording, whichever you prefer. And we're going to be looking for key competencies. So we're going to be looking for your listening skills, your creating awareness skills, your questioning skills, your visioning skills, your strategizing skills, and your energetic, the energetics and the container. So you'll submit it, and then we'll give you a report with each of those competencies. And then that's also a great prep for the final submission. So at the end of the program, you'll submit another 30 to 35 minute recorded coaching session for review. And we're going to assess on all of those same competencies. Every now and again, when we'll listen to that final recording, you may not meet all of the competencies. If that happens, first of all, no judgment, no shame. We're, you know, you're here for mastery and excellence. And we, like, this is my promise to you to really support you in that. So it's not, there's nothing wrong if that happens. And then you have time, like a good bit of time to create another recording and resubmit, and we'll listen to that one. Let's see, there's some questions in the chat. Could these recordings be with your partner? They can. Yes, absolutely. We will need a total of 36 coaching sessions, exactly 18 with coaching partner and 18 with others. And those others can be paid or volunteer. And there's also a final exam. You'll get quizzes along the way that will help prepare you for the exam. You can take, and the final exam you can take with all of your notes open. You can look back at resource sheets, you know, all the things. And a passing grade for the exam is 75%. You'll also have time beyond the end of the program to submit all of those final materials. Nobody ever, like, on the last day of the program submits. So you'll have until January 5th, 2023 to submit. Because of the labor that the team puts in, the four sessions, the review of the two calls, sometimes three calls if we ask you to submit another one, the review of the test, there is an administrative fee for certification of $600, and that covers everything, like all the parts of certification and everything associated with certification, including once you're certified, we'll ask you for your bio and your picture and a blurb about you, and we'll put you up on our website. And every now and again, I'll also do specific promotions of certified coaches to my email community and social media community as well. You have until July 1st. To decide if you want to get certified. You don't need to decide right away. So we'll send you an email about it later this week, and you can choose to opt in now. And if you do, if you want to get started with your coaching, the four coaching calls, you can, or you can wait. And then we'll send you a couple of reminders if you haven't opted in, you know, as we get closer to July 1st, and you can decide then. Good question, Barbara, about the fee. I believe, and I'll double check on this, I believe you can either pay in full when you opt in, or you can do a payment plan. But I'll double check with the team on that. But I know we have more than one option in case you don't want to pay in full right away. Any other questions on this for now? Everything that I just shared with even more details is in your member center. Okay. Okay, great. So let's dive in to our practicum. I love our practicums because they're really a powerful opportunity for us to go deeper with all of the concepts that we've been learning. And for today, everything that we've been learning with listening skills. So I'll tell you a little bit how it will work today. I will call on a volunteer client, and I'm not going to coach this client. I'm going to just ask questions based on what is it, you know, almost as if it was a coaching session where you wanted to receive something. I'm just going to ask different questions. Sometimes they're out of order. They may not follow any thought processes, but I'm going to do my best to not coach and just ask different questions so that all of us have a lot of material for listening. So that we can hear a lot of different things. And while I'm asking these questions and our volunteer client answers, for everybody else on the call, your job is to use your listening skills, everything that we've looked at and learned so far, and make notes on what you're hearing. And then we'll have time to share what it is that you heard and kind of break apart some of it, go deeper with some of it, look at it. So as I said earlier, what this means is I'm going to be doing a lot less talking on this call. This call is all about all of you. The more that you are willing to share what you're hearing and to participate, the richer this call is going to be. I think it's important to speak to this, because we have newer practitioners and because we have more seasoned practitioners, it can sometimes feel a little intimidating if you're a newer practitioner to share, to try out, you know, to see. And I just want to remind you all that there's so much richness in all of your experiences and from all of you. And so I really want to encourage you to share. If you're a seasoned practitioner in particular, my invitation to you is to not rest on your laurels with this. Like, definitely write down all the things you would normally hear, you know, with all of your incredible listening skills, but be on your edge. Use this really as a stretch and a practice to hear things that you might normally, when you're going through your client coaching sessions, that you may not hear. So maybe for you, your edge is really checking your filters and your biases. Or maybe for you, you listen to so many things, but you don't usually listen for emotional state, right? So set the intention to listen for that today. Or maybe for you, your edge is to really listen for a match and a mismatch between goals, your behavior goals and commitment. So in a few minutes, I'll ask you all what your edge is. I see these practicums as kind of like going to the gym and isolating one muscle and strengthening it. And so that's what we'll be doing today. We learned a lot in our last two calls around listening skills. I'm just going to go just very briefly to remind you. And I'm just going to go very quickly through this because we've already learned all of it and you've taken notes and you have notes. But just you want to be listening for, you want to think about when you listen is all about seeing, hearing, and loving the person that you're listening to. You want to be present in every moment when you're listening. You want to listen to your client as well as listen to yourself and your wisdom and your hunches. You want to open up your curiosity, be curious. You want to listen for the who. Remember, we always coach the what based on the who. You want to be aware of your filters and your biases, right? So those are the kind of those foundational pieces. And then in terms of what you really want to be listening for, we looked at emotional state, the client's engagement with what they're talking about. You want to listen for when there's silence, there might be something important there. Pacing, tone. You want to listen for what is this client's essential nature. You want to listen for a match or a mismatch between the client's behavior and then their goals and their commitments. You want to be listening for what's motivating the client. You want to be listening for specific language and terms that the client uses. You want to be listening for client strengths, for obstacles and potential obstacles. You want to be listening for what does this client believe? What are some of the underlying beliefs? Who's influencing this client? You want to notice if something seems misplaced with the rest of the conversation. Sometimes listening deeply is listening for what the client isn't saying, because there may be some important pieces there. If the client repeats anything, you want to listen for what the client is becoming aware of. You want to see different connections and patterns as well. And yes, Jackie, this call is regular, that 90-minute call. So we've got about an hour. All right, so let me ask all of you, what's your edge when it comes to your deep listening skills? What's your edge when it comes to your deep listening skills? And another way of asking that is like, what's your next area of growth? What's your edge when it comes to deep listening skills? Listening for what the client isn't saying. Yeah, Brenda's saying listening to your client and yourself. Staying present, not tuning out and multitasking. Good. Listening more deeply and allowing the client to come up with their answers rather than offering solutions. Beautiful. Objectivity in the midst of empathy. Beautiful. Yes. Curiosity. Vlada, again, by edge is like, where is an area of growth for you when it comes to your listening skills? Listening and trusting instinctive hunches, checking your filters, listening to the energetics, yes, and then consolidating your relationship with energetics. Beautiful. Learn it all versus know it all. Nice. Getting busy in your head, being present in the moment. Yeah, good. Good. So what you've all identified is my invitation to you as we go into this practicum. In other words, it's my invitation as your intention. So I'll just ask, what's your intention that you want to set as you're listening today? What's the intention that you want to set as you're listening today? These are great. Beautiful. Yeah, these are all really wonderful. Okay. So in a moment, I'm going to ask for a volunteer, for a volunteer client. And I'm also just going to ask all of us when we're listening to the client, let's not use the chat. So as I'm asking questions to our volunteer client, you know, part of listening is being fully present, right? So let's really practice that and be fully present. And then we can come back to the chat, you know, when we have our shares. Okay. Who wants to be our volunteer? You can just raise your hand in the Zoom. Annalise, thank you. Thanks for being willing. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not seeing you up on my screen yet. Talk again.
Can you see me?
Ah, now I can. Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for being willing. And as I said earlier, I'm not going to coach you. So if it feels like I'm jumping around, it's just because I'm trying to just ask questions so that we can get a lot of information to listen to.
Okay.
Okay. So if this were a session though, what is it that you would want to receive? What's a situation that you have going on right now that you would want to receive support on, inner or outer?
Well, the topic on a more sort of like broader level is that I've got loads going on. Sorry. Oh my God. I've got loads going on. And so just to be really focused on the flow, so I know I can make it productive, but sometimes it just feels too much, and I know I have to get more centered in order to lean into my edges and being productive and going with the flow, because I know if I go into the flow, everything works out, but sometimes I get distracted and sometimes I get worried. Sometimes I get overwhelmed.
Okay. I think I'm getting it. So tell me if I'm getting this right. Sounds like you have a lot going on right now. And mm-hmm. you know that the best way to move through it, and I might be adding this piece, so let me know. And the best way to get things done is if you move through with flow. If you can get into the flow, it will kind of make everything easier, inner and outer. And yet, even though you understand that intellectually, you know that it's not happening. You're not doing it. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more. Give us an example or two of how this is actually showing up in your life right now.
Well, obviously with COVID now in the UK, just, you know, we are transitioning out, and in Europe in general, things are getting much better. You know, things are going from online to live, and I work with clients in Italy as well. And I'm very happy about that. The problem is that I've got two children and I live in London. I have clients in the EU, in Italy. Sometimes I travel to Italy for personal reason. So I'm going skiing in March and I'm now have to go to Italy 2 days after skiing for a big client assignment. So I'm trying to organize a ski week. And then from there, you know, from France, going to Italy and then doing this big assignment, then coming back to London and then going back to Italy to see my parents in two different places in Italy. And in the meantime, children, work. So it just feels a lot. And the assignment that I have at the moment, they're amazing. There is a massive team coaching that I have, plus a mental health program for a law firm, plus my coaching client, plus this course. So I just feel, I just feel pretty overwhelmed by everything. And I am saying no to getting more individual clients at the moment. And I know it's a good problem to have, but then on top of it, I'm a human being, and then I get worried for the war, and I get, you know, I just sometimes feel like, oh my God, can I please stop 1 second, everything stop, and I breathe. You know, if I think about everything that I need to do, I feel really overwhelmed and I feel stuck and I feel something in my throat. I know that if I approach one thing at a time and I focus and I plan, everything would be fine, actually would be amazing. But if I just look at everything at once, I just feel like I want to cry.
I always try hard not to reflect back during the, I want to, but I'm just going to ask questions. How come you don't take that moment to stop and breathe and then focus on one thing and the next and the next?
Because I still have some residual. When I was a lawyer, I never took it. So, and I was really, really busy. And then I went into coaching and I had, you know, a different approach. But when I get very, very busy, I go back into my lawyer executive mood, which is like, go, 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 go. And I know it's not good for me, but I know it rationally. But then I forget to practice.
That makes a lot of sense. What, in addition to forgetting, has you going back into that lawyer mode and that busy mode?
It's, I think it's a habit, and it's also how I used to function during stressful time, which doesn't serve me. I mean, in addition, I guess it's just a repeated pattern that comes back. And also, in addition, I never said too many no's, and now I am starting to say no, but I'm a work in progress in that. So, for example, a friend of mine has asked if I coach his nephew, and it's not in my niche. I don't coach, you know, and I don't coach these kind of clients. And I said yes, because she's always so kind to me and I felt obliged. So there is still some residual that comes, you know, and I'm like, I need to get rid of the superfluous, and I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it as well as I could. And also, you know, the question that you said before, like to stop and breathe, I guess in the morning I need to wake up and just stop the chaos of my house and prioritize myself without always prioritizing everyone else around me, because I'm not Wonder Woman. I'm really not.
Again, I want to reflect, but I'm not going to give opportunity for everybody. What was the fear in saying no to coaching your friend's child?
That I'm not like grateful, like she's actually introduced me to a big law firm for which I'm doing this mental health program. And, you know, they've been one of my biggest clients in the last couple of years, and they do me a lot of work. And so if I say no, I'm just scared that she's not gonna, I mean, it's a stupid fear because she's gonna, because I'm good, she's gonna recommend me to if she can. But like part of me is like, oh, she's done this for me. And so I need to sort of like give her something.
Where do you know that from historically?
From the fact that in my past, are you talking about my childhood?
Yeah, or any time before now.
I guess and this is more general than just giving something if someone gives it to you. And it relates also to this performing, which is not a negative thing if it's in flow, but it relates to my mother example, that she's basically prioritized work above everything, but I prioritize work, but I prioritize everything. and also the fact that because she didn't give me reassurance, or her reassurance was very intermittent, since I was a little girl, I've always sort of like done much, much more compared to my age. And look, I'm not saying, you know, I'm grateful for the energy and I'm grateful for the drive, which is one of my realized strengths. I'm a, you know, I don't know if you know the strength profile from,
yeah.
And it's one of my strengths, drive. And also another one of my strengths is persistent. You know, like I just go, I don't, you know, don't know any obstacle, but actually sometimes if a strength is overplayed, it can become a learned behavior, which takes the energy out. So sometimes it's just have to go in with the flow means not just go, 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 but it means that sometimes you just have to slow down. You know, that's the flow. Mm-hmm. It's a dance rather than a sort of like a battle.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about that. What does that dance look like? And another way I would ask that question is, what does healthy and aligned drive and persistence look like?
I have this image of, I feel this very, very fondly. I have this image of a river that needs to go into the sea. And has, in order for the river to go into the sea, then things need to be in place and need to happen. First of all, you need to have boundaries, because otherwise the river goes everywhere and it doesn't go to the sea. So for me, that is something incredibly important that only recently, little by little, I've started to implement. and every day more and more. So my boundaries, my rivers sort of like arjun are more defined more and more and more. So there is no leakage of the river. So that is very, very important. And I'm really working on that with awareness. And then there is this sort of like, if there's like this image of the water, which is light that goes, but it's not heavy. It's sort of like it flows, it's light. And then if it encounters an obstacle, like a big rock, it just doesn't smash into it, but it just goes around it and just continue. And that's what I want to be. That is what I want to be. I still want to keep my drive, but it needs to be in the persistent, but it needs to be sort of like more soft and more, the energy needs to change.
That's a beautiful image. And I see the energy of that on your face right now. Yeah. I'm going to jump. This question may or may not resonate, but just so that we can continue to gather information and listen. What would be at risk for you if you weren't overwhelmed so much all the time?
I mean, it's not that I'm overwhelmed all the time. This is a particularly busy period. For example, when we were not traveling with COVID, I was less overwhelmed because I didn't have to travel. You know, I came back at the beginning of January from a trip to Australia to see my mother-in-law, and I got COVID in the trip. So even, you know, there's a lot of my life, which, you know, with COVID kind of, although I didn't like it, but it allowed me to breathe, a little bit. So it's not all the time, but I do, there is part of me that likes that. It likes to reach goals and progress. That is part of me. I'm part of who I am. I guess if I wasn't like that, like I have been sometimes that I haven't been really focused on striving or because of other things, I just feel less of me. Mm-hmm. I just want to sort of like smooth the edges of this. I don't want to lose it because it's who I am. Yeah. And I don't want to play small.
Anything else you want to share about this? Any of the things we've been talking about?
That is a beautiful journey. That it's okay to still not being able to completely have it sorted and be this beautiful flowing river. Sometimes I do smash into the rock. But I think I'm becoming every single day taking little steps for this equilibrium between my drive and my persistence and the connection with myself and these boundaries with myself and with others.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for all of your sharing. I feel like you've given us a lot to work with. And my invitation to you is, if you want to put your practitioner hat on now, you can do that as well and participate. And I may also come back to you and ask questions based on what some people are sharing, but you also put your listening skills on now too. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So hopefully you've all been making notes, but if not, I'm going to give you another minute or two right now. And Annalise, you can make notes too. What are some of the most important things that you heard as you were listening? What are some of the most important things that you heard? And I'm going to hold on shares. I'll give everybody a chance to write some more things down. So what did you hear? So some of you have already started sharing in the chat, and even if you shared in the chat, I'd love to hear your voice. Hands raised, what are some things that you want to pull out? What are some things that you heard that would be important to hear, you know, if you were the coach listening? Ayana.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
How much her energy lights up when she talks about flowing like water, and how easily she has access to that state already.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. So those are two related, but such important things to hear. Number one, that she lights up, you know, like this idea of that flow of the river is just so resonant for her. And then the second piece is that it's not like buried so deep that she can't access it. It's right there for her. It needs some practices or intention, but it's there for the taking for her. Beautiful. Good. Michaelyn.
Two things I heard, one was from her, one is from you. And the one from her was how she started out talking about this tendency or pattern of hers as if it were more external. And there was like, and she didn't like it and she wanted to change it, and like a disowning of that part of her. And then she moved through it so beautifully to the end when she owned it. And she was so much softer, and she claimed the part of it that works for her while like accepting that it is still a work in progress. So I really loved that it moved in to her and she accepted it. And the other thing I heard from you was like moving through time, like you started in the present, you took her to the past, and then you took her to the future, and then you brought her back to the present. And I noticed that, and it really felt like there was a journey that you choreographed with your questions. And I really liked that. There was a lot you did just by asking questions.
Yeah. So we'll work backwards there. So I was actively trying not to coach, and still, right, like the impulse is there. So like just asking questions without reflecting, right? If we're using our listening skills, so much can come through. And then this other piece you're talking about, there was a, even though it wasn't a coaching session, there was a shift, right? And we want each of these things and what Ayana shared and what you're all sharing in the chat, and hopefully we'll get to hear all this too. Like we want to listen, not just for the sake of listening for these shifts and these changes, but because we want to create, I didn't do it because I wanted to give everybody a chance, but we want to create awareness on these pieces. So at least some of these pieces for our clients in the session, that awareness is so valuable. And then it also helps us ask better questions. So yes, there was kind of this shift from just the outer and not the owning to the inner, and also seeing these are the parts of it that work, and these are the parts that don't, and all of that. Beautiful. Deva.
Yeah, I just really heard how much life has gotten overwhelming. And that reflection of her mother, of going back of where it came from, and the recognition that the strengths can become learned behavior if you're not aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and
like her superpower to be persistent and focused, it can get out of, without the boundaries.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great thing to notice, and that you can go really deep on, is how to then leverage, like you're saying, this superpower in ways that are really going to work. And it sounds like, part of what I heard is that a lot of it is working for Annalise, but and then where are the places that can be tweaked? Good. Emily.
I noticed that she came in like hot, lots of energy, like amped up. She was using a lot of like talking with her hands. And then throughout the conversation, she settled in. And when she was thinking, her eyes were going up, I think to the right. And she definitely like, she just sunk into herself. There was a quality in my experience of, there's something wrong that needs to be fixed when she showed up. And by the time she left, she was embracing all the parts of herself.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that too. And again, such a great thing to create awareness for the client, mm-hmm. that shift. Clients, and we'll get to all of this in creating awareness too, is like, sometimes a client can say something or like clearly move through a shift, but they haven't actually fully received it. And so part of our job when we listen is to then reflect back what we're hearing, because it helps our clients take in more deeply what they've already said or what they've already moved through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I'll note is that the thing she was seeking was flow. And the thing that she got like about halfway through was flow, in my experience.
You could see energetically that she moved into a state of flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Good. Thank you. Jen.
Yeah. I heard what could possibly be a really strong inner critic. And that would be probably one thing that I would ask more questions about, to find out exactly, what's going on in her head and why, and what this fear of losing herself through softening is really all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And absolutely, that could be something to create awareness on, check in, and then ask some more questions on. And I love what you're saying, kind of this juxtaposition or opposition of an inner critic and softness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Carla.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. I wanted to bring up the filter, and I recognized eventually that because talking about what I call masculine, and then I realized that, oh, that's absolutely my filter. She never said it. And my tendency would have been to have brought that up, which might have been a complete distraction from what she was really needing to experience. And so I appreciated how you didn't go into that. You just really stayed with her in your questioning and brought her to the place. What does she want? Flow. It doesn't matter what you call it. And if you have anything else to say, Joanna, about how we can better coach with our filters like that when something like that comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, so well done that you caught that filter. Mm-hmm. I from, you know, what I know of you, I actually think it's a really big deal that you caught that filter, because I think this is one that you have, you know, like is ingrained in you and is so much your way of moving through the world and seeing. So the fact that you were able to see it, incredible. And a couple of pieces on that. So long as that filter is checked, you actually can bring that language in. Mm. Because if the filter is checked, you're going to bring it in differently than if it's unchecked. You're going to bring it in as a curiosity and a testing out. And does this resonate for you? And is this a helpful way to look at it? So you don't have to necessarily bring it in, right? But then you have more choice to bring it in effectively, because then it's not a given or like, of course, this is masculine, feminine, but it's like a toss of this concept or this language to see if it fits the client and if it resonates and if they want to go with it or not. So that's one piece. And then also you always want to be listening session to session. If a client speaks about that concept or something about it in a previous session, then you know that's part of their filter too, and you can bring it in. So is that helpful to think about all of that?
Well, I also figure that if my client were telling a story like this, they might already come in with that language. Otherwise, they might not be my client.
Your ideal client. Yeah, absolutely. So, right. Yeah.
But it was still really good to see that just to watch that question, that next question you asked that took her there anyway. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, really well done. And Maria, the filter that Carla was talking about is thinking in terms of masculine and feminine, with flow, you know, being the feminine. Amy.
Hi. The parts that really caught me were where there seemed to be a doorway to a new emotion or an emotion underneath. There was the one part when she said, I'm not Wonder Woman, I'm really not. And then she got kind of quiet, and there just felt like there was something more there. It was felt like a special moment. And also the maybe that there was a limiting belief underneath that if she slows down, that she would lose a part of herself. There was also some emotion there. And I noticed her touching her throat and her mouth sometimes closing. And so those were parts that caught my curiosity.
Beautiful. Yeah. A couple pieces in there. So it sounds like you were listening really well and deeply to some of those visual cues of the throat and the jaw, right? And that it's good to notice those moments, because you know, when you match that with what's being said or not, you know, there could be pieces to that. So really well done. And then, yeah, this whole, we didn't get into the whole superwoman thing, but that's absolutely a road that we could have gone down, and really looked at that part of herself and, how it almost seems like there's a belief in there that either you need to be a superwoman or in opposition with superwoman and flow, and kind of looking at some more of those pieces. Yeah, good. Issa.
Hey there. One of the things I picked up on was, let's see what my notes tell me. It was mentioned in passing, but that the drive and persistence has been used as a coping mechanism for stress. And I believe I heard Annalise mention the war, which I'm assuming is what's going on in Eastern Europe right now, on top of COVID. And there's just a lot of stress collectively going on. But that was just a very fleeting thing that was mentioned that I caught. And of course, my filters popped in because that's exactly how I cope with stress, is by diving into my own drive and persistence and overworking. So I was just trying to be like, hey, filters, bring it back in.
You checked it, right? And you heard it, right? So that you were checking the filters and you heard it. And absolutely, I heard that too. I think she said it, like that's a stress response. And we could even take that a step further. Tell me if you agree with this. Mm-hmm. The note that I made around that was that I heard that she is ready for a new response to yes. stress, that the yes. old way worked for a really long time and maybe made sense, but it's not anymore. Beautiful. Nicely done. Nell.
When she mentioned about her mother and that her mother was prioritized work above everything, and then she kind of, you know, I heard that she didn't want to be like that, maybe, or that she was left maybe unsatisfied with her mother being that way. So she's now trying to prioritize everything, and she's not a Wonder Woman. So I guess, you know, that and connecting with this kind of feeling that I heard of, you know, if I'm not striving, I'm not myself. Or what it kind of brought up for me was, is that all that need to strive all herself, or is that coming from external places?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And towards the end, she started to pick apart, like, there's a part of it that is really mm-hmm. me. And then in a session, you could go down that path and really pick apart, okay, what are the parts that have been put upon you or seeped mm-hmm. in versus those parts that are authentically you. Good. Mm-hmm. Well done. Sophie.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed, I was trying to listen for my gut instincts and my responses. And one of the things that I noticed at the beginning was Annalise was saying, I think I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. And there was a smile. And it caught my attention because I think I recognize a filter of my own, because I know that I do that. When I'm feeling stressed, it's like, and I smile. And then I think you asked a question, it was a lovely question. How come you don't stop and pause and take a breath? And then I noticed her face really soften and the smile went and her jaw relaxed. And then I noticed the filter shift in me mm-hmm. of like, oh, okay, I can relax too. So mm-hmm. it was interesting to see how I was just sort of tracking her body and it was impacting my body. And that was getting in the way of my capacity to listen. And yeah.
Was it getting in your way of your capacity to listen? The way that I may not have heard correctly, but I think what I heard you just say is because you had awareness of it, you know, our energetics as practitioners, as part of it is being aware of our body and letting us know what our body is telling us about what we're hearing. And I think that's what I heard was happening for you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. What I really noticed was, wow, I'm being flooded with messages right now from what I'm seeing in her body. And it was a bit overwhelming. You know, it was hard to listen because there were so many of them coming at me so thick and fast, maybe.
Got it. I was still thinking this is a good thing, particularly from what you've shared before, Sophie, because it almost feels like you've opened up a faucet of listening that you haven't had before, like this part of listening, you noticing that your body is responding in certain ways. So I think it will be valuable to continue to track that for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Barbara.
So what I wanted to talk about was how I noticed when Annalise started talking about all of what's on her plate and how, you know, expert she is. And so, you know, she has so much on her plate. And I was just like, how could I coach somebody so competent? That was my filter that popped up. It's like, you know, she's probably doing 83 times as much as I could. You know, so how could I, I can be present.
Right. Yeah.
How could I help somebody? You know, so that was my filter that came up. But I was just like, are you sure you're not Wonder Woman? You sound like Wonder Woman to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's two really important pieces in what you're saying. First of all, so well done in checking your filter and your energetics on that, like really beautifully done. That's so important as practitioners for us to, you know, be aware of that. And that, like, oh, is the playing field equal, right? And because then that awareness helps us bring more of that equal playing field in. Beautifully done. The other piece here, and this is an important piece. We probably all heard this, but we think it's so obvious maybe that, I don't know, maybe some of you made a note of this, but Barbara's saying, Annalise is incredibly competent. She is an overachiever. Like, there are amazing things going, like she's incredible, right? We want to hear that and like honor that too, like honor that there, she wants to soften the edges and all the pieces, but also honor, like, holy moly, this woman has such a full business and has achieved so much. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Nicely done. Vlada.
I had a lot that resonated. It's a little hard to put it, to verbalize it. But first of all, my first reaction, I guess, it is a filter of my own. I really related to the problem that Annalise is having, because I oftentimes come up to the same exact problem. How can I be the Wonder Woman and solve everything? And that brings me to multitasking and not being present as wanted. And I think I find myself in that situation many times. And first of all, one of my big questions around this was, well, it's incredible. My tendency is to bring my own experience in as a reference. And this is something that I caught myself, like, how would I approach this without involving my personal experience? And something that I picked up very deeply that I think maybe we haven't caught on so much yet is that when Annalise was talking about not being able to say no to her friends, request or ask, there was an element of, oh, if I don't say yes, I will be excluded. I will not be part of.
Yeah. I won't get what I want or need.
Yes. I won't be able to survive. I will.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything will fall apart. So I better try and do it all and be the Wonder Woman. And that's why I can't stop. And it's totally overwhelming. And yeah, so it resonated definitely very deeply with me. But in the end, I really found that I am listening with a lot of love.
Beautiful, beautiful. So,
and that's, yeah, that's something that I think is a big takeaway for me, because when you listen with love, you can drop your agenda and make the situation more open.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm so happy that you are able to experience that. Amazing. And I think that that's a writer downer for everybody. Listen with love. Great foundational, right? Everybody wants to be seen, heard, and loved. A reminder to listen with love. And also, I just want to say, again, similar to what I was sharing with Carla, we can bring our personal experience in sometimes, so long as we've checked that filter and are not making an assumption that that's going to be truth for the client. So it's not that we have to cut that off, but we just want that filter checked. And then if our intuition is still saying, toss this, see if it resonates, then we want to do it in a way that allows for the client's agency to take it on or not. And we'll learn how to do that in creating awareness skills. Good. Melissa.
Hi, I just want to highlight one little part that I noticed when she mentioned the kind of conundrum with the request to coach her, I forget the relationship, but the young person that was requested. And there was a part of me that kind of had an urge to go for the quick fix of, well, how can we fix this situation? Can we ask if there's, you know, can we delay the coaching or how many hours, like trying to go to the United Nations fixing the symptom. And that was a choice point I saw where you, Joanna, didn't try to find a solution to that, which is like perhaps seen as low-hanging fruit, but just leave it and then go what's underneath and looking at transforming her relationship to everything that's going on, or what's the driver under that, rather than that kind of management. Well, maybe we can work out a solution, or you can. Yes. And so yeah. I just noticed that myself. I'm like, wow, I could have gone either route, but my tendency was like, well, let's fix this now, you know.
Right. So I love that you're bringing this up. It's such a great and important observation, like 100%. So if this were like a regular coaching session, I may have gone for the solution, but not right away. I may have eventually gotten to a strategy, but first, exactly what you're saying, let's create more connections and understand the patterns more and understand the beliefs and why it's been hard and what the reverberations are, because then the client is going to be so much better resourced to create a solution that feels right and then to actually take action on it. So 100%. Yes. Good. Really nice. Kelly.
Hi. I had a couple of things. One thing I noticed is I really don't like the visual distraction. So I found myself looking away a lot. I just do my sessions by phone, and I'm such a kinesthetic person. So I was really aware of how much I was listening with my body. So it was so interesting to hear others speak of what they were seeing. I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And my mission today was just looking for what was not being spoken or sort of the mismatch. And what I was noticing was, and I know this piece has been spoken, but the way that I experienced it was just that kind of gathering of tension around all of the pieces and the patterns and the struggles and the Wonder Woman, and then how it kind of came to this place. It felt like riding a wave to me. It was like lifting, lifting, lifting. And then it came into this place of resolution when she came to a place of claiming like, oh, but this is who I am. And I really honor all of the beautiful pieces in here that are so important to who I am and what I offer and how I operate in the world. And for me, it was that place of listening for where's all the tension and mismatch? And then how does that come to a place of resolution? And then watching you, just witnessing you guiding through that just by asking questions. So cool. And to see her come to her own answers was really beautiful. And then one other piece that I noticed that is my filter is because I work so much with the nervous system and like ancestral healing and shamanic healing. So I like immediately was wanting to go in and sort of do or offer tools or say that this is what you can do. And I was just like, huh, you can do this and let her find it. She knows the pieces. So that was really, it was really beautiful to witness. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. A couple of pieces I want to pull out from there. So yes, and then at a certain point, you can use the ancestral tools too, right? Like you have that and that's valuable, but give that space for the coaching before you get to the consulting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that noticing that moment of owning that this is who I am, mm-hmm. and I don't want to play small. So there was a tension between that and I might not reach my goals if I, you know, soften the edges, you know, so to notice that tension. And also, you know, I was not coaching, but in that moment, we want to hear for when someone's owning something. Mm-hmm. And then create deeper awareness, right? So that hearing of, I'm not here to play small, this is who I am, right? And then we may wanna guide the client to embody that, like to feel that and to feel that not playing small while feeling the softer edges around it too, right? But we need to hear it first.
Yes, yes.
Definitely. And then just real quick, I prefer phone to Zoom but I know, you know, like this is how life is right now. And you do hear, you know, for the we hear different, what do I say? Each of us hears differently and has different strengths or whatever. And I notice I hear different things when the visuals are there as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jolly.
I just want to say I'm blown away by everybody's observations and contributions. It's just so cool.
Amazing, wise group. Yes.
Literally feel like I'm growing brain cells. But the thing that really caught me, and I'm beginning to realize that this is obviously a part of my own filter, is when Annalise was saying, right at the start, she said, I'm feeling overwhelmed and stuck, like I can't breathe. And then she said, well, with COVID, I'm not always overwhelmed. Like, for example, with COVID, I couldn't travel and it felt like I could breathe. And I think because I work with that in my Reiki practice, it really stood out to me. Mm. And with Reiki, we talk about developing a balance between the internal locus of control and external locus of control. And it just struck me. It's like, so if it's externally imposed on me, I'm okay with it. But again, it's that tension. If I have to choose to pause, that there's something that's not sitting right. It was so interesting to kind of just hear that and see that.
Yes, I love that. And I love that connection. And you could definitely like toss that to the client between the COVID and the breathing and all of that too. Nice. Thank you. Okay, we're almost at time. And there's still a question that I want to ask all of you. So I'm going to get the rest of the hands that are raised. And then we'll start to bring to close. Randa.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
What I noticed first was just the super ramped energy in the beginning of just like, oh my God, I've got all this stuff, I'm overwhelmed, blah, 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 blah. And my usual go-to would be like, okay, let's pause, let's breathe, let's get into body. So I found it really challenging for me just to wait for you to come up with the question and then for her to be really reaching. And that was the other thing I noticed, is that every time there was a question, it sounded like she was trying to come up with a solution right away. Like, this comes from my mother, this comes from trauma, this comes from blah, 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 like rationalizing where it's all coming from, which may or may not be necessary in the situation. But I felt like, because the questions were thinker style of questions, which is very open-ended, that it felt like it was really almost painful work for her to like reach back and be like, okay, I've got to come up with the reason and the rationalization of where this is coming from. And I guess maybe just through my own filter, that felt a bit painful to watch. And I know that my usual tendency would be to just jump in with those silences and try to fill the gap or guide the path to, or say, well, it's, you don't need to know where it comes from, just like that coaching offering of help. So that was not quite painful, but it was difficult for, it was okay to watch it, but I know that myself in that situation would have a hard time with those silences. So that was my own filter and my own experience. But just from that, watching it and then seeing her come down and almost just being like, well, it's okay that it's not perfect. And I need to kind of be okay with the fact that life is stressful. It seems very simple, but it was a massive shift in energetics that I saw with her. So,
yeah, I love those observations and those awarenesses. They feel really important, and important for you to kind of, you know, chew on a bit. And yeah, I wasn't coaching, so I may have done different, like I was asking open-ended questions so we could hear as much as we can hear. But I will say this as a toss for everybody to chew on. It's been my experience that it can often be valuable to allow a client to sit in discomfort for a bit, even if it feels a little uncomfortable for us. So not in all situations, but something to think about too. I love that you have such a deep awareness of the body piece and the answers coming from the body. Really nicely said, thank you. Right. We're almost at time. I want to honor our time. So I'm going to come back to Annalise first, because I want to hear from you as the client, Annalise, and then I'll ask about questions, and then Lara and AJ and anyone else, if you can hang on, please do. So Annalise, I know you have your hand up too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the computer booted me off too much.
Oh no.
It booted me off after I finished. I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. I'm the river. I just flow. And then I sort of
you put it into practice. Yeah.
I went from one computer that was, you know, that was completely useless to another. So that's fine. But I mean, first of all, whatever I've heard, it's absolutely amazing. And this is like, for me, it's like my nourishment in the pause, because there is no rush and it's just so beautiful. And you are all incredible, each one of you. I'm so grateful, really, really so grateful. And in terms of, if I was coaching myself, I would have like Vlada would have like, because I'm like that, I would have, okay, let's just breathe. Let's just pause. But I really like your being in the discomfort, because at the end, I wasn't tolerating my own discomfort. I was like, I don't like this. I just don't like being like this, really. I think listening for repetition, I repeated a lot, the boundaries in the river metaphor, as well as, you know, the example that I gave with my friend. And although I said, I am improving, which I am, but I would have sort of like maybe ask a bit more, because if, you know, those boundaries, and I don't know if I'm applying, you know, I'm talking about this because it was from me. And I don't know if this is solution mode, but if you don't have boundaries, you're going to be everywhere and you just can't be. So maybe just, you know, like listening to this boundaries, like asking question a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a great avenue for you to go down, since that's what you're noticing, you know, to really look at those boundaries. Beautiful. And I just want to also, you know, from the first piece that you said, you know, we didn't do any coaching. Nobody that shared did any coaching, but Annalise shared, received so much just from hearing what we heard in her. It just really speaks to that power of listening and listening with presence. So thank you. Okay, I know we're at the end. I do want to hear if you can hang on, Lara and AJ, from you. I know there's a lot happening in the chat, which I haven't been able to keep up with, but I will go back and look. But before we leave, if you have to hop off, what is it? What are you taking from our call today? And I see in the chat that Brenda and some of you that are beginners, that there's, you know, frustration. And so even with that, what is important for you to take away from this experience? And we can also talk more about that frustration too, or the fear. What's important to take away? Lara has a more clear understanding of her own filters and gifts. Anything to create openness and trust, yes. You've got good hunches, yes. Hearing about everyone's filters is creating expansion. Yeah, we all see and hear different things. And that's, I'm glad you're writing this, Emily, too, because we can't possibly hear all the things and we don't need to. Coaching is an art, not a science. More than one road leads to the result that the client wants. So we don't need to hear all the things. We just want to continue to hone our listening skills to hear what we're going to hear. Yeah, and Barbara said that in her own way in the chat too. Okay, I'm going to read through all of these. And for anyone that can hang on, let's hear Lara and AJ. So Lara.
Thank you. I'm also really inspired by everybody's observations. I think what occurred to me as I was listening to everyone and kind of reflecting back on what I was witnessing was, so this piece about energetics and the level playing field has been sticking with me. I think that's a big challenge that I've experienced in the past as a leader, feeling like an imposter. And so I've been very aware of that. I think what I loved about the way that you answered the question, or that you asked the questions, Joanna, was from a deep sense of equality, of level playing field, but also what I found through her answers, through Annalise's answers, is like a deep sense of inner wisdom that was there and that's there all along, but that you were there holding her hand and walking her down these different paths where you thought, well, maybe we should stop here and let's explore a little bit more and let's check. But that path, all of those pathways, she's already constructed in her lifetime. it's just really having that companionship is what it felt like, to help guide her back to that inner wisdom, which
that's so beautifully said, and it's so true. Our clients know so much more than we do about what they need and who they are and where they're going, and our job is to not be smarty pants, but to really hold the space for them to tap into that inner wisdom. And yeah, that leading of the self. Nice. AJ.
Yeah, my observation sort of followed off of what Jolly brought up in the beginning. When Annalise was talking about all the things she has to do, all the things, being so overwhelming, the disconnect of action versus intent with wanting to be less overwhelmed, but I could hear, I'm going very many places, but the way that she talked about the travels that are coming up as a very busy time, that it felt that even personal fun travel came through as a burden. And the ease that she mentioned on not being able to travel during COVID being a relief at times. And so as something to look at, those actions versus intentions. And then another thing is I was hearing a lot of, I need to, or I just need to. And that, I might have liked to ask further, like, where is that need coming from? What is the need that it feels? Is that an external pressure?
Absolutely. And that's such a great example of listening when a word is used more than once too, right? That we know that there's something important there. Yeah, really, really well done. Beautiful. Last minute, I'll just toss two other things for everybody. Just one, which is that Annalise is a visual processor. She's a kinesthetic as well, but it's just good to note, you know, if a client is particularly a visual processor versus auditory, et cetera, because we know we can use metaphors and visuals in a particular way. And then just the other little piece that I would have created awareness on if it were a coaching session is that she's making progress. She's not starting from scratch on this. She's starting to understand about boundaries more. She's playing with saying no more, et cetera. Those are sometimes important things to listen for. All right, everybody. Thank you for today. Just so beautiful to be with all of you. If anyone, especially, you know, if we're done, but especially if there's like anything that you want to talk about, any of the feelings of fear or whatever coming up, I'm going to stop the recording. And if anybody wants to hang on for a few minutes and connect on it now or connect on it later, more than happy to connect on that. Enjoy your week, and I'll see you next week.